fans, this week's football broadcast is available on the TuneIn app, mgoblue.com, and your local radio station, WWJ News Radio 950, WTKA 1050 in Ann Arbor. You can hear Jim Brandstetter, yours truly, and Dan Dierdorf on the play-by-play call, Michigan versus Hawaii. There's no reason to miss your Michigan Wolverines on game days, no matter where you are. We're continuing with Tony Tuiati, who is Michigan's player personnel recruiting coordinator, brand new this year. Tony, you talked about going over and visiting America Samoa, where you are from. That is a really rich area for football players. There are so many that have come on and played in the National Football League from there. I imagine you going home with Michigan and coaching some of those young kids and giving them fundamentals had to be like you giving back a little bit to your home.
Yeah, no, I that's one of the things that I always want to do is be able to share what was passed to me. And I'm glad we had a chance, and I'm glad Coach Harbaugh allowed us the opportunity to come to American Samoa and share that with those kids there. They love football. They love football with a passion. If some of you guys will see the fields that they have to play on, just top of the gravel with a little bit of grass, it doesn't matter to them because to them they love the game of football with that much passion.
How thirsty are they over there for the knowledge, the little things, those fundamental things that make them better?
They're very thirsty. They're hungry. You know, and a lot of them know that that's their opportunity to get off the island is to be able to have a football scholarship. So that's driven at home. That's a culture that they talk about every single day. So they know if they do very well, if they excel at football, they have a chance to be able to live the American dream and come to America.
And for you, you're the same face that they have over there, that you've got to be one of their models to say, hey, I can do it. It can be done.
Yeah, it definitely can be done. They have more and more role models as guys continue to progress through college. There's Marcus Mariota now, who just won the Heisman Trophy and was a high draft pick for the Titans. I had a chance a couple years ago to help Troy Polamalu and his foundation go with a lot of NFL football players. You guys probably seen some of that on I think it was 60 Minutes, who did a show on that. So I was a part of that group that was able to go, and there was 30 football coaches from all different colleges. There was about 30 NFL former players that Troy brought over there, and we were able to do a three-day camp there. And it was a great experience. So it's great to see more people go back and try to give back to the community there.
It's great to have you here in Ann Arbor, and that experience comes with you. Real quickly, last question. University of Hawaii comes in Ann Arbor. You were on a team that played at the University of Hawaii, and you had to travel all over. What's it like for them coming into the big house, and what's their mental attitude as they walk down that tunnel?
They're going to be excited, you know, just to be able to play in front of an atmosphere they've never been before, you know, to play in front of 100,000 people. I've never been in that stadium yet, too, and I'm super excited to see it. But, you know, they're coming here. I can tell you this, that they're going to play as hard as they can. If you watch the Cal game, they could have easily went down, but they battled all the way through and they fought all the way to the end. So I wouldn't expect anything less from them. But, you know, I know our guys, we play the way we should play. Everything else should take care of itself.
Tony Tuiati, everybody. What a great job he did tonight. Good to have you here. Come back again. Tony Tuiati, our guest, Michigan's recruiting coordinator. When we come back on Inside Michigan Football, we'll talk rules, and we'll talk about your Saturday in Ann Arbor at the Big House with the Ann Arbor Campus Police. That's next on Inside Michigan Football on the IMG Sports Network. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Inside Michigan Football from here at the Pizza House. Great to have you all here. We've got a capacity crowd. We're glad they're here. And when it comes to football, we're part of your team. Meijer has everything you need for Wolverine tailgating, including U of M favorites like team apparel and certified Angus beef. Meijer, your home store advantage. We're joined now by Dick Honig, former Big Ten official, and Joe Persanti. Joe, of course, is with the campus police. But first, we're going to go with Dick. New rules this year, Dick Honig, that folks watching the game are going to have to understand so they won't look at the officials like they've lost their minds out there.
They always do, but that's okay.
Okay, so what do we got to look for? What's new?
I think the thing that probably is the thing they won't recognize, but it's a major rule change, is they've tightened up the ability to block below the waist. Right now, basically the lineman, as you were, can block below the waist at the snap. But after that portion of the game is if the ball leaves the quarterback's hands and is pitched out, at that point you basically have to block a guy. We call it 10-2. All right, 10 to 2 means he's got to be facing the guy that's getting blocked has to be in the blocker has to look at that guy face up almost to block him below the waist.
So in the tackle box, you can't go below.
You can still go below the waist.
In the tackle box. Once outside?
Right.
Okay.
And now we get him past the line of scrimmage, and now we're going to back allow some blocking below the waist downfield by our wide receivers as long as they're face up with the person they're blocking.
Okay, and what's the penalty on it if it's called?
It's still a 15-yard block, blocking below the waist.
Spot foul or from the line of scrimmage?
It depends on where. It'd be spot foul depending on where the ball ends up.
Okay.
Correct.
Next?
I think next thing we should talk about is the quarterback. Again, we're tightening up things that happen to the quarterback. Last year they put in any blocks below the waist on a quarterback was a foul. But you could go in and tackle him and not cause a foul. Now, if that tackle is a forcible contact low below the knees, it is now a foul.
So that is a judgment call now. What's
Absolutely.
Forcible?
Again, forcible is a direct hit.
What if a guy gets blocked into him below the waist?
That's a little bit different. Now, that again, last year was the same way. Blocked into as long as he doesn't still go to the guy. Okay. If he attempts to make it to miss, then he's safe.
Is that 15 yards on
the That's again
roughness?
15 yards okay. as well. The other one is, and I think the people will be interested in, because of the NFL deal, is that now the referee, when we have a replay, will now go under what we call a hood. And
at
look
the collegiate level?
And the collegiate level. He will not make the decision, but the referee will be able to look at the play and advise the replay people if they are screwing up a rule as we have in the past, not knowing. But they'll get a chance to put their input into
the
decision.
So the referee goes looks at the replay but can't make a judgment on it.
No, but he can
That's
talk
going to the guy up in the booth 90 yards away.
Yeah, exactly.
Dick, I want you to know something. That doesn't sound very smart to me.
Well, I'll tell you why it's good. It's good because the replay people are looking at it and making a judgment, and the NCAA has not wanted the referee to make the decision.
Okay.
He can't be, as the question is, and the NFL's not doing it anymore, the referee really isn't making that decision.
Are we going to have, okay, That's good, Chief. How about targeting? Are they going to square that away so Joe Bolden doesn't get kicked out of a game for a bogus targeting call?
Actually, I think the Joe Bolden play actually changed the rule of targeting. Two things that have happened. They've given, for in defense of the people that were doing that game, they were under a strict guidance system that allowed them any changes or any feelings. They couldn't input into that play what actually happened. He hit him, it's a foul. Now the replay official can actually look at that play and make a judgment as to how he got there and if he got there in a manner such as it happened with Bolden where he got knocked into it. So again,
so that wouldn't have been targeting under this new rule.
No, that would have been nothing under this new rule.
Well, that's good to know.
And one other thing, now let's take the reverse of that. The on-field officials miss a targeting. We get a direct shot to the head, and for some reason we don't get it. Now replay can initiate that foul from the replay booth. They don't expect it to happen very often because our guys on the field are told, call the play, let replay take it away if it isn't targeting. But there'll still be a situation that happens.
Thanks for the update, Dick. Great job. Dick Onick with the rules update. Now let's go to Joe Persanti. Joe. Folks coming to the game, tell me, where can they park? Where can they come in? What are the streets going to be closed? What streets are going to be open?
Well, the parking lots, Jim, start opening up at as early as 6 o'clock in the morning to give people plenty of time to tailgate. My best advice is to get to the big house early. If you wait until 20 minutes before kickoff to get to the gate, you are not going to see the kickoff because we're screening everybody coming into the stadium for prohibited items. You can't bring bags, containers, purses, bottles, cans, umbrellas are all prohibited, including weapons. So we're screening for...
I hope they don't bring weapons.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm glad to know that's on your
exactly.
list.
Exactly. But we're screening for their protection, so it takes longer to get into the stadium.
People bringing something in that is prohibited and they've got it with them, can they check it somewhere if you find it and say, hey, you can't have that?
Yes, they can go over to the Chrysler Center. They can go into the south entrance of the Chrysler Center and they can check their bag before they get to the stadium.
But folks around Ann Arbor who normally come to Michigan football games, pretty much the same traffic pattern-wise. There's so much construction around. Has that altered on what you're going to do game day?
Well, we do on game days. We have a traffic pattern. Main Street, we start shutting down Main Street for traffic northbound 3 hours before game time, southbound 1 hour. Keat Street, which is just north of the stadium, is shut down 3 hours before game day. Post-game, all traffic is pushed out south on Main, Ann Arbor, Saline. So we have a game day traffic pattern. So you have to be aware of that when you're coming in or out.
Joe, thanks very much. Appreciate the update. Everybody remember that. Going to the game on Saturday, Michigan against Hawaii. Dick Honig, Joe Persanti, great job, guys. You updated us and made us informational. Not many football shows can say that. Don't go away. David Turnley is next on Inside Michigan Football on the IMG Sports Network. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are delighted on Inside Michigan Football to have David Turnley with us. David, of course, is a Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer, author. He's worked with people like Nelson Mandela. His twin brother and he are very famous. And yet, as a Michigan graduate, he wanted to come back and take pictures of the football program with Jim Harbaugh. And he's got a book out now called Enthusiasm Unknown to Mankind. And the idea came with Jim's enthusiasm about football, your relationship with Jim, and taking pictures with full access of last year's team. Tell me about it, David.
Yeah, so one of the pieces of all this, Jim, that you wouldn't know is that I grew up playing football with great aspirations, like so many young men in America. My father was a good player. I think my great uncle actually played with New Rockne and the Four Horsemen.
With Canute Rockne!
But nevertheless, I grew up in Indiana, and came here as a freshman walk-on, and after 2 weeks as a walk-on wide receiver, I was told by Dennis Brown, the then coach, that I would never see a minute of playing time. And
I was a scholarship athlete, and the head coach told me that.
And interestingly, the point of my telling you that is, even in those 2 weeks in 1973 when I came here and had the honor of being on the field with the kind of men that come from around this country, the kind of athletes from every corner of this country, as I took all of that passion and aspiration and turned it into being a war photographer, really, I can't tell you the number of times I was thinking about it as I was sitting there, when I would be around these really important people, and I would think, you know what? I've been around important people. I was in a locker room with some really important people, people that just aspire to greatness. And so when Jim Harbaugh was coming back a year and a half ago, I had come back here to teach 4 years ago, I knew that I didn't know a lot about Jim. I researched him in interviews, and I was just really impressed at how intense, the fire in his belly, how smart he is. I knew a bit about the intensity of his relationship with his brother. And I have a twin brother who's a very outstanding photojournalist with whom I've been very competitive. So I needed to meet Jim. And when I met Jim, I said, I want to document your era here and what it is to make champions. And then he saw a 60 Minutes piece about me as a war photographer, and I think he got very excited about that.
What did you want to get out of these still pictures that would convey to the person looking at these photos? What were you looking at the message to send to them?
Yeah. So I've always been interested as a photographer. When I go into war zones and now with the access that Coach Harbaugh has given me, I try to do the same thing. I want people to understand what it feels like, what it smells like. I don't want you to be on a sideline from a place of safety. I want to be in the middle of it. Football's an interesting game. I've always felt like so many people don't really understand so many of the just extraordinary aspects of football, and I certainly feel really honored every day being around Coach Harbaugh because he certainly gets all that. But when you're amidst the kind of men that come here to play football, these are the best athletes in this country. They come from every geographic location, every socioeconomic background, every racial background. And the things that they have in common are that they're just excellent. They're excellent at football. They're excellent athletes. They're academically brilliant. They're just good men. And when you're in the midst of the kind of family that happens with all of that, with the aspiration of winning, there's just nothing much better than that.
How many pictures are in this book, Enthusiasm Unknown to Mankind?
So this book, by the way, I wanted to say it's co-authored with Jim Harbaugh. He's written an amazing treatise at the beginning of the book. It's not an introduction. It's not a foreword. It's his vision of leadership and team building. It's his 15 principles, and it's exquisitely written, just like everything he does. Real honor to be associated with his writing in this book. My photographs, there are 300. It's published by Foster Park Publishing. Pat Olson's here tonight. He's the publisher, and it's just done. The coffee table book that we've done is 17 by 14 inches book, big. It's like 13 pounds. It's black and white, just exquisite. And I think everyone should read Jim Harbaugh's writing. I think it caters to every imaginable sector of life. Anyone that's interested in sort of a vision for life and leadership.
I think everyone should get a copy of this book. It's called Enthusiasm Unknown to Mankind, David Turnley and Jim Harbaugh. David will be signing books just outside the dining room here, and you can buy one from him tonight. Or where can folks find your book?
So this book can be purchased online at mden.com or fosterpark.net. Thanks. And it also can be bought at MDen.
David, thanks so much. We appreciate you coming by. Special thanks tonight, our producer, Kathleen Stevens, the staff at the Pizza House, our producer, engineer, Tony Butler, social media director, Robbie Timmons, at Game Central, Brian Bush, Jim Harbaugh, JT Rogan, Dave Abloff, David Turnley, Tony Tuiati, and all the rest of you here at the Pizza House. It's great to have you here. See you next Monday on Inside Michigan Football.